What's up, everyone? We got an extra special guest. The DDT Method is in the house.
I'm in the house. Awesome. It's great to be here. This is a beautiful setup. This place is amazing.
He got to witness a full legacy session. It was crazy. We had seven schools, seven sports. I lost count of how many kids, but it was fun. And we got to see these kids, some of them going to D1 schools, some of them getting ready for their sophomore, junior, senior year in high school. Lacrosse, football, wrestling, you name it, we had it in here. And I think you need to, if you ever have a chance to come out to Franklin, Tennessee, just witnessing what we do here at Legacy is, I think you enjoyed it.
No, the setup is spectacular. Let me reiterate too, we lost track of how many kids, we didn't lose any kids, so it's safe. It's a safe place.
We don't know if we lost any kids.
We're pretty sure that we ended with as many as we started with.
We did a head count. So we did a back workout, we crushed it, came in here. Thank you so much for helping coach the kids, giving them cues on the bench press. Just an amazing time. But what we noticed, like training athletes, and you, can you tell people, so this guy doesn't suck. You are a guy, like you're the guy, like you know training. Like mm-hmm. What is your background?
So I have about 20 years as a personal trainer and strength and conditioning coach. On top of that, doing nutrition and whatnot. I ran MI40 gym for years. I'm certified through Prescript levels 1 and 2. I'm certified through Prescript nutrition, Precision Nutrition, ISSA, NASM. I've been around for a little while. So it's one of those things where not only have I been doing a lot of stuff online, continued ed, working with clients online worldwide, I work with tons of people in person. I work with people in person from all walks of life. Men, women, children, all ages, business professionals, doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, athletes, professional wrestlers, football players, everything in between. And I think there's this huge, huge, huge misconception about when you're training too much, when you're not training enough, and there's a ton of information out there, and it's just confusing people at this point in time.
So overtraining is something that we've been talking about for years. You remember back in the early YouTube days, you had Hodge Twins with Snap City, and my business partner, CT Fletcher, with It's Still Your Motherfucking Set.
It's Still Your Motherfucking Set.
So, overtraining is a nervous system condition that does exist. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. You're not gonna get it from doing a fucking extra rep over your RIR on your bench press. It's just not gonna happen because overtraining is something that is so hard to get. Now, I coach wrestlers. I was the strength coach for a high school wrestling team out here. Wrestlers will literally train for 6 to 8 hours a day. Somehow they're still fine. Mm-hmm. Fight camps for boxers, 6 to 8 hours a day, morning, afternoon, and night, they will train, yet they don't die. Their nervous system still works. And it just seems that we have this newfangled approach with RPE and RIR that everybody thinks that if they actually push themselves, they actually train hard, that they're gonna negate all their gains and they're not gonna progress.
Now here's the thing, like reps in reserve, rate of perceived exertion, all these things, these are tools, all right? And they're useful tools in some situations.
Very useful.
But like everything else, like, you know, red meat is good. Okay, cool. Let's only eat red meat, nothing but red meat, 12 ribeyes a day. Plants are good. Okay, screw meat. Let's eat nothing but plants. RPE and RIR are useful. All right, cool. I'm going to calculate my exact RIR in every set with 3 acclimating RIR sets of RIR 75 with 1-0 RIR where I stop at exactly 0 because the extra 1 RIR... It's convoluted, it's too much information, and it's just overcomplicating something. And this stuff is incredibly complicated, that's the thing. But it's also kinda simple at the same time. And I know that sounds nuts, but all of these tools and all of these modalities are things that we keep in mind. Like, okay, if we wanna do a max set, let's start with the the pull downs that we did.
Yeah.
All right, we worked up to a heavy ass set of pull downs with a double drop set, and it was a gnarly set. And we did a bunch of stuff leading up to it. The first set that we did was probably technically 5 RIR.
Probably 5 to 10.
Whatever. I
mean, but here's the thing about RIR, is that if you read the data, all the data, not just the data that supports your data,
right,
you will know that experienced lifters underestimate their RIR by 2 reps. Inexperienced lifters underestimate it by 2 to 5 reps. Well, there's decimals in there, but you get what I'm saying.
Numbers. So, numbers.
The thing is, have you ever trained with someone and you're eking out an extra rep? I can't do it. It's like, CT Fletcher, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Low bladder is still your motherfucking set. You're like, aah! Next thing you know, you get five extra reps.
Mm-hmm.
See, I will argue that reps in reserve is actually reps you're mentally capable of. Because we don't know, there's something called, I think it's called, it's not absolute strength, it's a reserve strength. Where you ever see those videos of like women lifting cars to save their baby? So your body has this reserve strength that it does not tap into to prevent you from snapping your shit up. It's your body's mechanism to prevent injury.
Mm-hmm.
So your body has this ability to go above and beyond. Whereas I think that all the data on RIR is actually convoluted or clouded because we truly cannot measure RIR because it's all relative. It's what you think your reps in reserve are. There's no way to put an electrode and say, yep, two more reps. So the bottom line is, I think that people just need to go until they can't go. Because if you look at the data, you'll notice that getting up to or close to failure is when you're gonna get a lot of those gains.
Mm-hmm. Proximity to failure has been proven to be the biggest driver in hypertrophy. That we know, that's pretty straightforward. Trying to arbitrarily determine your proximity to failure with a RIR model or an RPE model, useful-ish,
very,
but it's not a be-all, end-all science. So let me relate this to my fiance, my beautiful fiance, okay, who, killer sex life. It's great. I can't complain whatsoever. I'm not going to get into crazy details because then we won't put it up there.
It's awesome. It's good sex life.
For scientific purposes and angles and whatnot. Situationally.
He had three cameras set up.
Three. Like, all right next to each other. It was a little redundant, but no, more footage is more footage. Regardless, all right?
The upward angle made you look very, very gifted.
I mean, that's why you shoot up at all points in time.
I shoot up as well.
So, don't we all? Anyways. This all needs to stay in. This is perfect.
We're keeping it the in. World, I don't pull out.
The world will know that we shoot up and we don't pull out.
Never
regardless.
So,
if I were to read a bunch of studies on how to pleasure a woman, there's actually studies like this out there, despite the fact that most of us can't do it. But regardless, there's lots of studies saying that they need to start in a very calm state. And then to get to the fruition point, the climax, if you will, their heart rate has to gradually rise.
Is this really?
No, that's actually, that's a thing.
Jesus.
So does that mean that I sedate my fiance prior to sex?
Well, that's how you got her in the first place.
And then, I mean, that was the first time. And then she woke up and I had a very nice note written about how my intentions were pure and that how I'm a good guy and I make good money and that she might as well just give it a shot and not press charges. And here we are today. I put a ring on it and she accepted. But regardless.
Solid life advice.
If I'm going to sedate her and just try and bore the shit out of her and put on like a nature documentary, that's not necessarily going to get her going. Then what am I going to do? Like, take the original Jack 3D and just like straw blow it up her nose right when I want her to finish to get her heart rate up. Like,
it these depends, dude. Those Nat Geo with the saggy titties, those are awesome.
They love Jack 3D, apparently. I used to work for the company, I know. Huge contingent of fans down there.
Really?
Yes. Down, you know, down in saggy titty land.
So, well, that's because they don't wear bras. They kind of...
It's good for their back. It's ballistic training. It's like a bamboo bar and then you put some bands on it and some kettlebells and whatnot. Science. Anyways, the point is there's a lot of actual literature on sexual intercourse. Do you follow that to a T every time that you hook up with your significant other? Probably not. These are useful tools. RIR, RPE. They're legit. But if you're trying to focus 100% on somebody else's methodology of determining how close you are to failure, that's literally trying to determine how close you are to getting your wife off during sex based on a study that said that women prefer something this, something to that, and something to the other thing. We were doing a set and I literally said, wait, stop, fuck you, and did five more when I was about to finish because I remembered we had this conversation.
That's because he went second. He had to beat my reps. That's the rule. If you go second, you beat the first guy, whether your form breaks down. But going first, you don't know.
So never go first, essentially.
Yeah, never go first is the message. But you're absolutely correct in that science is what gives us a lot of what we do. But you have to realize that when looking at science, you have to interpret the data. So if the data says that going to or within a certain proximity of failure is the way to make gains, but science also tells us that we suck at estimating what that failure is, all that tells me, kind of like we were talking with Bryce about the golden era. Mm-hmm. They didn't know any of this shit.
Nope.
They trained twice a day. They went in there. They got jacked. They ate a bunch of food. They went to the beach, got the sunlight, and then they slept.
And lo and behold, they looked phenomenal.
Yes.
Now, here's the other thing. Don't take this off on a tangent, because it's going to be very easy for anybody watching this to just dismiss us as not science guys. We're science guys. Yes. We read more science than most people read science. Like, it's to an embarrassing degree.
Yes.
That's how much science that we read. And by no means am I in the camp, or is Mark in the camp, of ignore science, work hard, lift heavy, kill yourself, and then that's how you're going to make gains. That's not what we're saying, but everybody that's really on that biomechanics research study side, they're going to say that because we're saying work hard, and you're not allowed to say work hard. At no point in any of this am I saying that RPE or RIR is useless, because it's not. But it is one tool and it's one facet of what we do, and to try and hyper-focus on it, hyper-focus is going to destroy everything in this industry if we let it. Situationally, when you're doing an exercise, most of us try to do one top set of that exercise.
Yes.
Do you know what that one top set might be called to somebody that follows RIR? Zero RIR. And what do we generally not do when we're leading up to that top set? We usually don't do zero RIR leading up to zero RIR, because we know then our heaviest zero RIR won't be a heavy zero RIR. So we do 5 RIR, 3 RIR, 2 RIR, then zero RIR. Or we do, you know, lighter sets, slightly harder sets, then a set where you come pretty close to failing. You know what that is? That's like 1, 2, or 3 RIR. So it works, we're doing it, we're just not over obsessing on it.
Sounds a lot like what Dorian did.
Oh my God, go figure.
So Dorian, everybody goes on this whole tangent that Dorian was a low volume guy. I have actually, unlike a lot of you guys, I'm not saying this to flex, I've trained with Dorian. Before, we didn't just go to the machine and put 5 plates on it.
No.
We started with 1, then 2. And we went sub-maximal, again, the 5 to 8, maybe even less RIR.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found, and what I find as a trainer, is if I think I could do more, like he knew he could do more, he would have quit 3 reps prior if I wouldn't have done more than him. Because mentally, he was locked in. The hardest brain in your body to condition, hardest muscle in your body to condition is your brain. Mm-hmm. If you think you could do something, like today, we're training the kids and we're pushing them and we have them train alongside each other. I had kids outside doing shuttle drills running. We had 2 football players and a wrestler. All I had to say is, don't let a wrestler beat you. Suddenly those football players, they're 100%, got much better.
I don't know how that equates to RIR when it's running, but that's a perfect example of exactly what we're talking
Basically,
about.
Basically, your brain controls your body. And a lot of what you see with these people who overperform, if you look at an NFL roster, the weights are about the same, the height's about the same, 40s are about the same. What separates them? Obviously skill, genetics, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, it's how they can tap in up here to get that extra something on that field.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I step into the gym, I look at it like, hey, I am performing, it's a game setting, I need to turn it on, and I need to make sure that I have an hour in the gym, and I'm not just spending an hour in the gym, I'm spending an hour in the gym. So again, we love science, but if you go too far by the book, if you go too far by the science, I think you're gonna miss out on a lot of progress by simply pushing yourself and lifting like an asshole.
Sometimes you have to be an asshole, and we're not saying lift really hard and don't lift smart.
Form.
The same way I'm never gonna say lift really smart and don't lift hard. It's like we said earlier, that top set that you're doing where you're trying to just move the most weight that you can within that given rep range that you're shooting for, if that is as beautifully, pristinely executed as your warm-up set, you're probably not working hard enough. We should shoot for 100% perfect form all the time. Yep. But we should also know that when we're really pushing it to the level that's going to make a change, our attempt at 100% perfect form isn't going to hit the mark. Maybe we land on 80%. Now, is that scientifically inaccurate? Depending on somebody's definition, it might be. But you have to work as hard as you humanly possibly can within the parameters of not doing dumb shit. And here's the catch to all that. When you're working as hard as humanly possible and you're doing it smart, you're not going to wander into overtraining. You're not going to wander into doing too much. Your kidneys aren't going to shut down. You're not going to lose all your gains. You're not going to pass out. You're not going to drop dead of a heart attack. Stop being afraid to work hard because somebody's telling you that you have to follow this perception of this type of output this much so you can have this accomplishment within this amount of time. Don't put yourself in a box. Use guidelines.
Yes.
But don't limit yourself. Work hard and work smart. Do both.
Yeah, one caveat, train safe. Like, we're not telling you lift your butt off the bench. We're not telling you to use too much body English on a row. We're telling you keep your form as tight as humanly possible. But if you have to have a little bit of body English to eke out that extra rep, you're still getting the contraction. You're still getting the motion.
Exactly.
So that's what I got. So where can they find you?
So I'm at DDT Method on Instagram. If you message me there, I do my best to get back to all of my messages. It might take me a little bit, but I am open to questions and breaking this stuff down because, again, I might not be coming off like a science guy right now, but I'm a science nerd. I love to talk about this type of shit. And I just feel like too many people are putting themselves in a box and communicating one message when there's tons of information out there that we can apply to everybody.
OnlyFans page.
That's where I apply my other skills. Or lack thereof.
Or the sexual thing.
So the sexual thing.
I do it all sciencey.
So I go up.
And you guys, thanks for watching. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to this channel, click the notification bell. TigerFitness.com, that's my site. Please go there, buy stuff, support us. That's not a game.